Just like to start by thanking everyone for staying around till the very end to watch my presentation. I'm going to be discussing some research we did looking at soil microbial properties during a transition from cotton to sorghum cropping. First, I'd just like to start by kind of discussing the area where this research took place. It's the Southern High Plains. It's, 300 miles plus northwest of here. It's a warm, semi-arid region. Surface soils are generally sandy or inherently low in organic matter. It's a large agricultural region, 3.9 million acres within 100 miles of Lubbock. Around 25% of the United States cotton crop is produced here every year. And it's primarily intensively tilled cotton agriculture. There are issues with cotton cropping in this region. Cotton's a very low residue crop. Very little residues return back to the soil. This picture on the left was taken a month and a half ago. And during this year, because of the drought, we weren't able to replant any crops. And because of that, the residue's already been incorporated back in the soil, so you see very little left on the surface. And issues with this are, reduced water holding capacity and fertility because of the reduced organic matter, and also increases in aeolian soil erosion. The picture on the right was taken earlier this year of an erosion event. I don't know if anybody saw CNN yesterday, but apparently earlier this week there was a big erosion event in Lubbock as well. So the question of this is it sustainable? Alternative cropping options are limited, however. Simply the economics of it. Cotton is a highly profitable cash crop that's grown in this region. That's the reason it's grown. The climate here is warm and semi-arid. Deficit water conditions are going to be present most of the growing season here. And we also have a lack of supplemental irrigation. The depletion of the Ogallala Aquifer continues, and in the future it won't be a viable source for production. So an alternative that's historically been grown here, but it's kind of fallen out of favor due to economics, is sorghum. It's a high biomass producing crop. It's adapted to climates such as these, warm, dry, temperature stress, water stress. It's a low-input non-food crop, and, with the emphasis on biofuels, it does have the ability to produce feedstocks for this. So it can potentially provide both economic and environmental benefits to semi-arid regions. So the questions we're looking at answering for this research are, how is the soil microbial functioning community composition affected by a transition from cotton to sorghum cropping in these sandy, low organic matter soils? And then after two growing seasons, how's the same microbial functioning and community composition affected by what we'll call sorghum cropping systems, which involve two different sorghum cultivars, one with a typical cell wall chemical composition, one with reduced lignin content. This reduced lignin content helps, the conversion of this biomass into ethanol, and lignin is not necessarily a good thing for biofuel production. We had two biomass removal rates, 100% and 50%. Then also irrigation, non-irrigated. And then we had a reduced irrigated amount that is similar to what the aquifer can provide in the future. So the methods we looked at, similar to the last presenter, we had a suite of six enzymes targeting multiple soil nutrients. For carbon, we looked at beta-glucosidase and alpha-galactosidase. For carbon, nitrogen, beta-glucosaminidase. Phosphorus was alkaline phosphatase and phosphodiesterase. And sulfur is aryl sulfatase. And the methods we used were similar to the previous presenter as well, the bench-scale p-nitrophenol methods. For soil microbial community composition, we used ester-linked fatty acid methyl ester analysis. We also looked at microbial biomass carbon nitrogen, and we used the fumigation extraction method. We did this for four sampling periods, 0 to 10 centimeters. The spring 2009 are baseline samples. This field had been in cotton production for many years, so we kind of wanted to see what our baseline for all of these properties were before we began these sorghum cropping systems. We took a sampling after harvest after the first growing season, before planting in the second growing season, and after harvest in the second growing season. The site is kind of located on the southern end of the Southern High Plains, the red dot San Antonio, so it's northwest of here, roughly 300 miles. It's a fine sandy loam soil with 0.3% organic carbon, an alkaline pH, which is pretty typical for soils in this region. The cropping, we tried to mimic what is kind of done here, which is conventionally tilled. Our irrigation here was subsurface drip irrigation. So when we look at this transition from cotton to sorghum cropping, we kind of want to look at the enzymes collectively rather than look at individual activities just to see, you know, are we seeing these increases? So performed a principal component analysis on all the data from all four sampling periods. This will be the same for several PCAs that I'll discuss, but the centroid is in the middle, and then we have 95% confidence ellipses. So when we look at this initial sampling on the left is our baseline sampling, what the enzymes were after years of highly tilled cotton cropping. And we kind of see this migration, you know, from sampling period after two growing seasons, you know, towards the vectors of these enzymes. So we kind of see increasing enzyme values after these two growing seasons of, you know, a higher input sorghum crop. Another way to look at these enzymes collectively is to take the geometric mean of the enzymes. So when we look at this, we also saw this increase. For this, we happen to see different rates of increase for the irrigated versus non-irrigated crops. So, you know, irrigation resulted in more biomass production, which resulted in, you know, we saw more of an increase in the enzymes. We saw the same pattern for several of the individual enzymes. I'm not going to present the data here, but for both phosphorus cycling enzymes, beta-glucosidase, which is carbon, and beta-glucosaminidase, which is carbon and nitrogen. When we look at the microbial community structure, I performed a principal component analysis in the same way. And, you know, we looked at, you know, the same principal component analysis, but also looked at the different, you know, irrigation rates and stuff. But first we wanted to look at the, you know, over time. And what was kind of interesting is that rather than seeing this migration from this initial baseline sampling, which is spring 2009 to fall 2010, we saw a grouping based on time of year, which, you know, FAME analysis has been, you know, known to be more sensitive to smaller changes in the microbial community structure, you know, time of year, things like that. And so the saprophytic fungal indicators are closer to the spring 2009 ellipses, and this is kind of expected. You know, this area of the soil is never really cold enough for metabolism to stop. So when biomass is being broken down, even during the winter, you know, saprophytic fungi seem to be more responsible for that. And spring also tends to be the wetter time of year, so you'll have more constant soil moisture. We look at the fall samplings, you know, the Buscaria mycorrhizal fungal indicator and the gram-positive bacteria seem to be more linked to currently growing plants. You know, sorghum has a very shallow root system that'll cover when you sample, regardless of where you sample, you're kind of sampling in the root area. So, you know, during this time of year, it seemed to be more influenced by growing plants. We look at the microbial biomass carbon nitrogen. You know, we saw differences over time, but we didn't really see that pattern of the enzyme activities where we saw the increase in carbon or nitrogen. It seemed to be, you know, similar to the FAME analysis, more linked to time of year of sampling, soil moisture, things such as that. So when we look at this transition over these two growing seasons, you know, the enzyme activities seem to be more sensitive to this change from cotton to sorghum. We saw increases over time for, you know, looking at them collectively and with some of the individual enzyme activities. The microbial community structure changes seem to be more linked to sampling time rather than this transition. For our second research question, we look at, you know, the sorghum cropping systems after 2 years. But when you look at the first two treatments, which is the cell wall composition and biomass removal rate, you kind of have to look at how these are applied. During the first growing season, no above-ground biomass was actually returned. It wasn't returned until after the first growing season. So growing season one is almost year zero as far as that treatment's concerned, and growing season two is year one. And we planned on continuing these treatments, but, you know, the worst recorded drought in the history of Texas occurred this year, so that kind of stopped that idea. We did see some differences for irrigation, however, though, because more biomass was produced as a result of irrigation. You know, for three of these enzymes and for the geometric mean, they increased 16 to 19% as a result of irrigation after two growing seasons. We look at the community structure. You know, we looked at this final sampling period as far as cultivar and these other things, but really the only separation for the ellipses we saw was due to irrigation. And, you know, we kind of, if you tie it back to that first one where the spring separated from fall, spring tends to be during a wetter time of year than fall. So we also see irrigation more closely tied to these saprophytic fungal indicators and then gram-positive and actinomycetes, which tend to be more associated with drier soils closer to this non-irrigated treatment. And so looking at this time, got to thinking, these soils just became sorghum cropping, but they've been under irrigated and non-irrigated cotton for, you know, years previous to this. So I wanted to look at every sampling period and see if we saw these same patterns. The spring 2009, we didn't really see the separation that we saw for the other sampling periods. So, you know, it seemed to be that the sorghum with a little more biomass in this top 10 centimeters and more root structure, the irrigation seemed to have more of an effect versus cotton that, you know, has a deeper taproot structure and you don't see the surface roots near as much as you see with sorghum. So when we look at this 2 years of the sorghum cropping systems, just because of the nature of returning biomass and the short term that we were looking at, we really didn't see any changes detected due to the chemical composition or rate of biomass return. However, irrigation did result in some increases in enzyme activities and some differences in microbial community structure. We didn't see any differences in microbial biomass carbon or nitrogen yet by the sorghum cropping system. So kind of when we look overall, looking at this transition and the 2 years of it, you know, the suite of enzyme activities we used seemed to be more sensitive to this transition from cotton to sorghum cropping, especially in these, you know, degraded, low organic matter, semi-arid, sandy soils. And, you know, really, it was only two growing seasons, which is a relatively short time, but the enzymes were sensitive enough collectively to detect these changes. You know, microbial community structure, we did see some differences, but it seemed to be more sensitive to sampling time and time of, you know, irrigation level, things such as that, which are kind of shorter term than the cropping system changes. Microbial biomass carbon nitrogen really didn't show any difference in this short time frame as of yet. So, you know, when you're kind of looking at changes in short term, it's hard to sometimes do these experiments for 5 or 10 years. So, you know, deciding on which method you use to pick up these changes is important. I'd like to thank Ogallala Aquifer Initiative and USDARS for funding this research. Dr. Jennifer Moore-Crucera, Veronica Costa-Martinez, Gloria Burrow, and David Wester for their guidance and input. And I'll take any questions. Yeah, you know, enzymes tend to stay in the soil for a longer period of time, so.
And I think they would be better indicators of what your system is doing. You know, looking at the lack of relationship with the microbial biomass, but that you had enzymatic responses, it almost seems like that if you did a calculation for microbial biomass, you would see an increase in efficiency of that biomass as it's utilized in your different systems. So
yeah, and you know, these soils are so carbon poor that when you get a flush of any nutrient in there, I think, you know, microbes there are going to try to utilize it as quickly as possible because, you know, I think with sorghum that has more input, you're going to see over a year's time biomass remain there. But what the crop's been under forever with the cotton, it's so little return that it has utilized it as quickly as possible while the carbon's available.
Any more questions? Well, I think we're adjourned.